NASA gets help picking a name for a space station module from third graders. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Last week, Aero News told you about a contest NASA held to pick a new name for the Node 2 module for the International Space Station that'll be launched later this year. The name was chosen in a contest open to school kids nationwide, and among the six classes who submitted the winning name, Harmony, was a third grade class of Russ Yoakum at West Navarre Intermediate School in the Florida Panhandle. Russ is with us today. Russ, thanks for taking a few minutes out to talk to our listeners.
No, you're welcome.
Tell me a little bit about, first of all, how as a teacher of a third grade class, you became interested in a project working on something for a NASA contest.
We get notices a lot of times from the county or from other individuals that we as teachers have individually registered with about a variety of educational projects and really any kind of project that allows me to kind of delve into an interdisciplinary realm really attracts my attention, especially if it's something I know the kids will be interested in. Because then instead of, you know, having to pigeonhole my instruction, like, okay, here we're doing reading, now we're doing math, now we're doing science. When I can get an interdisciplinary thematic unit like that, it helps me teach everything at once, and then I get to teach the kids how to make connections and solve problems. And that's really far more valuable than just teaching, you know, math at math time and science at science time. So kind of ties everything together for them.
Russ, tell me a little bit about what NASA makes available to teachers. They must kind of know what they're doing if they have a program like this that can be successful for ninth graders and third graders.
Really, there's some good common threads throughout this, doing this kind of thematic unit. In making the scale model, of course, we did measuring. We talked about proportionality, and you know, that's math. We also talked about how, you know, models are smaller representations of actual objects, and that kind of got us into a little bit of science. We talked about NASA's contribution to, you know, to furthering science kind of their role in history, which has been very important. And so that got us into science and social studies. Plus, we read a good number of books about space and the space station. So really, it helped us to spread out across a wide array of subject areas. And as far as what might have attracted classes from all over the country, NASA has a very good website, obviously. It's www.nasa.gov, and they have links on there for educators. There's an online catalog where teachers can order, lesson materials. There's many lesson plans that are free, and there are quite a few, good hands-on materials that you can use in a lesson, as well as DVDs and whatnot that are at a very reduced cost. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's how many of the other educators found out about it.
Russ, have your kids been able to get to the Kennedy Space Center on a field trip?
We haven't, and typically, you know, there are some constraints as to the distance we're allowed to go on a field trip, there's also, you know, issues about availability of the transportation. I'm not familiar with anyone having gone to the Cape for a field trip from our area, but I wouldn't say that it would be entirely out of the question either.
Let me ask you a general question about third graders and the space program. First of all, tell me roughly what demographic you're in.
I'm 35 this year.
When I was a third grader, they actually used to let us out of class and bring us down to the auditorium and turn on big TVs for us to watch all the space launches. By the time I was in high school, which would have been about the time you were a third grader, it was gotten to the point where that was kind of ho-hum. They didn't even carry it on TV anymore, let alone have high school students get out of class to watch it on TV. Now today, third graders have video games, which ironically are leveraged from technology developed for the space program, which can present any science fiction or fantasy as a picture on a little TV screen. Has the real-life space program lost some of its magic?
You know, I think you bring up a good point there. And when I started this this unit of study with my kids, you know, I was surprised that, of course, you know, they knew we had a space program and they knew about astronauts, but I was surprised about how little they knew about the actual, you know, goings-on of NASA and about, you know, shuttle missions and the International Space Station. So it was a good learning opportunity for them, and it was, you know, it wasn't very hard for me to get them excited about it because, you know, I'm excited about the space program. But I think you're right. It has kind of, I don't know, become almost mundane, and that's sad in a way. I remember, you know, myself when I was a kid, you know, some of the early shuttle launches, I had the same kind of experience. We were able to watch them on TV, and then it seems like, you know, the school system where I grew up in Kentucky, at least, we didn't focus on them a lot again until the Challenger accident. And you know, it shouldn't take an accident for us to realize that there's good things going on at NASA all the time.
Well, that brings us to a good point, Russ, because I wonder what it would take to get people really fascinated like they used to be in space travel. President Bush has set an agenda of getting back to the moon and then branching out from there to go to Mars. Is this the kind of big visionary idea that it takes to get people really thinking this way again?
Well, I think it is, and even if it's not done with an agenda of getting kids to see the excitement of space travel and getting them to dream about it, as you put it, even if that weren't the agenda, there's so many good things that come out of doing a space program of that magnitude. I mean, when you look at the Mercury and Gemini and Apollo programs and how so many things that we enjoy today were innovations that came from their quest to reach the moon, I can only imagine what kind of new inventions that we would soon be enjoying if we put that kind of power behind our space program again.
Russ, we're up on a break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about how your kids did the models and the essays. You're listening to a special feature on Aero News, and it's brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V-220 and V-300T engines.
How smart is the engine in your aircraft? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as smart and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V-220 and V-300T from Aircraft Engine Services and their state-of-the-art engine management system. Both the V-220 and the V-300T feature a fully redundant and certified engine management system that controls all engine operation parameters. This EMS includes a true FADEC that manages propeller pitch and other elements of engine operation not usually controlled by the EMS in piston aircraft engines. The EMS automatically provides an optimum fuel mix by constantly measuring the manifold pressure, ambient pressure, engine speed, and throttle positioning, and calculating the appropriate fuel injection timing for each cycle and cylinder. The AES V-220 and V-300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh, so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at theaircraftengine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is general aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plagg. NASA is going to send a new piece of the International Space Station into orbit later this year. Originally called the Node 2 module, when it gets there, it will form a corridor that connects other modules built by international partners. NASA needed a less geeky name than Node 2, so NASA held a nationwide contest for school kids to come up with a better name. That winning name was Harmony, and it was chosen by 6 different classes of kids across the country, ranging from 3rd to 9th grade. One of those classes was Russ Yocum's class of 3rd graders at West Navarre Intermediate School in the Florida Panhandle, and Russ is our guest today on this Aero News special feature. Russ, thanks again for taking a few minutes out to talk to our listeners.
Oh, yes, sir.
Let me ask you how the project got started now, specifically with your class. You found out about the project. What were the rules? What did the class have to actually cut pieces from raw materials to build this model?
Well, the rules were pretty general in nature as far as the direction we were given, and I think that was deliberate. You know, NASA wanted to leave it wide open so that so the teachers could kind of fit this lesson into whatever resources they might have available.
And whatever grade level they were teaching.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. But the directions that we got said that, you know, we had to construct a scale model of the connector node. We had to teach students about the International Space Station. And we had to write an essay regarding our suggested name for the node.
Okay, now third graders generally aren't working in machine shops yet. So what kind of construction techniques did you use to make the model, and how big was yours?
All right. Well, at first we were rather ambitious, and we wanted to do a 1/2 size scale model, which the real connector node is in the neighborhood of 22 feet long by 11.5 feet in diameter. Those probably aren't exact, but it's close. And so our scale model of that, we were shooting for 7 feet long by about 6 3/4 feet in diameter,
which is still too big to get out a classroom door.
Right. Exactly. but we never got to that point because about a week ahead of time we had some of our parents bringing in supplies, like cardboard boxes and whatnot and paints and newspaper. And we quickly found out when we started our construction project that when you break down cardboard boxes, they don't maintain a very circular configuration too easily.
Right.
So we quickly adapted on the fly, and we decided that we would make our scale models much, much smaller. We actually wound up doing one that was about 1 to 111 scale, and essentially we took paper towel rolls and cut them to the right length to match the diameter so that it would be a close approximation of the scale for the connector node.
Oh, okay. So you got into you got to get into fractions there a little bit.
Oh yeah. and actually, I think it worked out better that way too, because the kids each got to make their own individual model, them being so small, mm-hmm. and this gave them a little keepsake to have. And plus, we were able to talk about learning through trial and error and determination as well. So there were some good teachable moments involved in our kind of failing at our first attempt.
Russ, how did you approach the essay part of the contest for third graders?
I talked to the students first about the International Space Station. Actually, I kind of directed them toward a name that I thought would be good, which was Unity. And then later I discovered that name was already used for the first connector node.
Right.
So then we did a little lesson on synonyms, and we came up with some names that have some similar meaning to Unity. And we narrowed it down to a few choices, and the kids voted. It was almost, it was a directed kind of thing. I was telling the kids, well, this is what this word means, and this is what this word means. And, I was kind of leading the discussion along those lines and then asking them which one they liked the best. And then they each wrote, a short essay about why they thought Harmony was a good name. The thought processes weren't what you would expect from, like, an 8th or 9th grader, but they still understood what Harmony meant and why it was a good name, because it talked about the astronauts and the other participants of the ISS working together.
Well, certainly third graders are old enough now to begin to be exposed to world news and have to appreciate the positive attributes of Harmony.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me a little bit then about how the project was submitted. Did you have to send pictures of the models, or how was that done?
Oh, yes, sir. We had to compile an electronic scrapbook, basically telling a little bit about how we engaged for this project. It also had to include photographs. I think the rule was at least one photograph of our scale model. And no more than, a certain number, because they didn't want, we were sending these electronically, and apparently, bandwidth was a concern. And then the other component of our electronic scrapbook was our essay. So that was kind of the culmination of our project that I kind of took the pictures and my lesson plans and everything and sat down and wrote the electronic scrapbook.
Well, Russ, let me make a quick count here now of what was involved in this. You had some math involved, some problem-solving skills when the first scheme to make the big model didn't work out. You had some vocabulary and maybe using a thesaurus, English composition, fine motor skills, computer lab, history of the space program. You managed to work a lot into this unit.
Absolutely. And they even had a chance for some art, because with their writing, I let them draw a picture of the connector node and since each one made their own small scale model, they were able to paint that as they saw fit. So it was really just a great experience for bringing all those subjects together.
Well, now, is the experience over? Is there a particular prize that goes with this other than the recognition of having picked the name? And do the kids get any more involvement with Harmony as it's launched?
As far as the prize goes, a lot of it is just the prestige of knowing that a part of the space station will be named after something that they suggested. Of course, being third graders, I don't know if I would say not too keen on such an intangible prize, but it took me a while to explain that to them. Also, we get to participate in a live video teleconference with an astronaut. I think it's tentatively scheduled for the 23rd of next month. And of course, you know, the other five winning classes will be participating as well. So they're excited about that. And of course, it's not over because now they're even more interested in space now that they've won. So I kind of like to tailor my lessons to what the kids are interested in at the time,
mm-hmm.
While also addressing the standards that I need to address. So we're kind of launching another little unit on space now. You know, I want to try to gear the kids up for their talk with the astronaut and give them enough knowledge to where they can formulate some good questions, and we'll discuss those before we do the VTC. But the kids are much more excited about space now than they were to begin with. Yeah.
You know, Russ, I have to say, listening to this and the effect it's had on your class and the follow up that's going on, for some shrewd PR person at NASA, you're like a dream come true. I mean, this is exactly what this program is designed to do, is to inspire an interest in the space program among kids.
Well, that should be a good teacher's goal with any kind of lesson. Is to capture their interest and inspire them to want to be lifelong learners. You know, I wouldn't say that I'm unique among teachers in that regard. You know, there's probably a goodly percentage of teachers at my school and schools all across the nation where teachers are doing the same kind of thing every day.
All right. Well, listen, when I first called and left a message at the front desk at the school there, they were kind of chuckling to me on the phone about your requests for media interviews. Has that been something that surprised you?
I've gotten, it was surprising because, in fact, you know, I did this project with the kids, and I thought it would be a great learning opportunity, and for me, that was, you know, that was the extent of my, you know, my aspirations with it. You know, I never expected that we would actually win. So yeah, I must say I've felt somewhat like a rock star over the past week now because, you know, I've been doing some phone interviews and we've been in the paper and whatnot. So it's been pretty exciting.
Your class of third graders has how many kids in it?
We have 16 right now.
Wow, you have a fairly low ratio then.
Florida has been working hard for there's a mandated class size reduction act in effect, and of course it's been a tiered process where, you know, schools had so many years to meet those class size restrictions for a lower ratio. You know, it's gotten to where it's crunch time, and they've told schools, you know, your class size ratios must get smaller, and so. It has been good. It's the smallest class that I've worked with yet.
All right. Well, listen, I will give you one bit of advice, and that is I used to live in the Orlando area, and I did make it out to the Kennedy Space Center for the tour. And I have to tell you, if you can ever get your kids to go there, when they see that thing 111 times bigger than what they built, when they see when they stand next to these old boosters and the old man program capsules, it will be amazing to them.
Absolutely.
Russ, I really appreciate your taking some time out and really appreciate your working this hard as a teacher. May all our kids have teachers who are as committed to this as you are.
Well, thank you, Paul.
My guest has been Russ Yocum of the third grade class at the Navarre Intermediate School in the Florida Panhandle. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. You can catch us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.